كذبت ثمود المرسلين.
The Thamud gave the lie to the messengers. For comparison, see Al-Araf 7, 73-9, Hud 11, 61-8, Al-Hijr 15, 80-4, and Bani Israel 17, 59. For more details, see Al-Naml 27, 45-53, Al-Dhariyat 51, 43-5, Al-Qamar 54, 23-31, Al-Haqqa 69-45, Al-Fajr 89-90, and Al-Shams 91-11. According to the Quranic account of this nation, the Thamud attained glory and power after the destruction of the Ad, and called to mind when he made you successors after the Ad, Al-Araf 7-74. Their civilization, however, followed the same route as the Ad. Whilst standards of living rose, morality fell. On the one hand, they were erecting palaces on the vast plains and carving beautiful houses out of the hills. But on the other hand, idolatry and polytheism were rampant. Positions of leadership among the Thamud were occupied by those most notorious for their wickedness and iniquity. Men and women of their high society had become arrogant and vain. The Prophet Saleh's message, peace be upon him, had an appeal only to the weak who belonged to the lower social strata. As for the people of rank and wealth, they utterly refused to accept his message, saying, "Most certainly we disbelieve in that which you believe." Al-Araf 7:76.
إِذْ قَالَ لَهُمْ أَخُوهُمْ صَالِحٌ أَلَا تَتَّقُونَ.
Recall when their brother Saleh said to them, "Have you no fear?"
إِنِّي لَكُمْ رَسُولٌ أَمِينٌ.
I am a trustworthy messenger to you. The Quran cites the testimony of the nation of Saleh, peace be upon him, as also his own moral integrity and extraordinary ability in these words. They said, "O Saleh, peace be upon him, till now you were such a person among us, of whom we had great expectations." Hud 11:62.
فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ وَأَطِيعُونَ.
So fear Allah and obey me.
وَمَا أَسْأَلُكُمْ عَلَيْهِ مِنْ أَجْرٍ إِنْ أَجْرِيَ إِلَّا عَلَىٰ رَبِّ الْعَالَمِينَ.
I seek of you no reward. My reward is with none but the Lord of the universe.
أَتُتْرَكُونَ فِي مَا هَا هُنَا آمِنِينَ.
Do you believe that you will be left here to live securely in the present state? Do you believe that you will be left here to live securely in the present state?
Do they think that this life of indulgence would be theirs forever? That it would never end? Do they think that they would not be questioned about the blessings that had been bestowed upon them, and that they would not be asked about their deeds?
فِي جَنَّاتٍ وَعُيُونٍ.
Amidst gardens and springs.
وَزُرُوعٍ وَنَخْلٍ طَلْعُهَا هَضِيمٍ.
And cornfields and date palms laden with juicy fruits.
Hadim refers to the heavy bunches of soft and tender dates which hang from the date palms and appear to be ready to burst forth.
وَتَنْحِتُونَ مِنَ الْجِبَالِ بُيُوتًا فَارِهِينَ.
You hew dwellings in mountains and exult in that.
Just as the Ad were famous for their high colonnaded buildings, the Thamud were renowned for carving beautiful buildings out of the hills. In Surah Al-Fajr, the Ad are called the people of colonnades, 89-7. And the epithet used for the Thamud is those who carved ridges in the valleys, 89-9. The Quran also tells us that they used to make huge palaces in the plains. You took for yourselves palaces in its plains, Al-Araf 7:74. What was the use of these buildings? The Quran sheds light on it by using the word farihin, that is, this was all for the sake of show, of demonstrating their wealth and skill, whilst the buildings themselves were devoid of any substantive utility. This is typical of a decadent society. Whilst the poor cannot find even the bare minimum of shelter, the rich and affluent erect stately palaces. When even this does not satiate their thirst for grandeur, they resort to raising grandiose monuments to themselves. Some of the buildings of the Thamud are still intact, and I indeed have the opportunity to see them for myself in December 1959. The place itself is located between Tabuk and Medina, lying a few miles to the north of Al-Ula, called Wadi al-Qura, in the time of the Prophet, peace be upon him. Nowadays, this is known as Al-Hijr and Mada in Saleh. As far as Al-Ula is concerned, it is still located in lush green surroundings in the midst of springs and orchards. An ominous atmosphere, however, surrounds Al-Hijr. Not only is it very sparsely populated, but it is a ruined place which gives a feeling of doom and decay. The few who live there do so in an area devoid of greenery and vegetation. Of the few wells that remain, one is identified by the local populace as that from which Saleh's she-camel used to drink, peace be upon him. Now this well is inside a former military barrack dating back to the Turkish period and is dry. When we arrived here, our first impression was of hills rendered into heaps of broken rocks, as if by a violent earthquake. We also observed a similar chain of hills which spanned a distance of about 50 miles from Al-Ula to the east in the direction of Khaybar, and towards the north about 30 to 40 miles inside Jordan. This means that it was a huge area of about 300 to 400 miles long by 100 miles wide, all destroyed by some massive earthquake. We also saw buildings of the type constructed by the Thamud at Al-Hijr in Midian along the Gulf of Aqaba and at Petra in Jordan. As regards Petra, the buildings of the Thamud and the Nabataeans stand side by side. Their carvings and designs are so dissimilar that even a layman can positively say that they belong to two different periods and to two different nations. The English Orientalist Charles Doty, death 1926, the author of Travels in Arabia Deserta, published in 1888, attempted to prove that the Quran was false on the grounds of this theory that the buildings at Al-Hijr were not constructed by the Thamud, but rather by the Nabataeans. However, the difference between the architectural designs of the people of Thamud and Nabataeans is so clear that only someone who is altogether blind could suggest such a theory. My own view is that these mountain carving skills were begun by the Thamud, but perfected by the Nabataeans several thousand years later, sometime during the 2nd and 1st centuries BC. Thereafter, this art form reached its zenith in Ellora in India, whose artful caves belong to a period about 700 years after those of Petra.
Fear Allah and obey me.
ولا تطيعوا أمر المسرفين.
And do not follow the bidding of those that go to excesses.
الذين يفسدون في الأرض ولا يصلحون.
And spread mischief in the land rather than set things right. And spread mischief in the land rather than set things right.
The Thamud were asked to relinquish their servitude to the chiefs, nobles, and rulers under whose leadership their corrupt system of life operated. They were the ones who had transgressed all moral limits and lived as untamed brutes. They could not be expected, therefore, to bring about any reform. Rather, they could only corrupt any system that they administered. The only way the people would engender reform was to become God-fearing, to forego obeying transgressors, and instead follow the Prophet Saleh's instruction, peace be upon him, because he was God's messenger. They were already witness to Saleh's honesty and trustworthiness, and knew him to be selfless. This then was the core of the manifesto which the Prophet Saleh, peace be upon him, presented before his nation. It was not just religious preaching, but the call for a pervasive cultural, moral, and political revolution.
قالوا إنما أنت من المسحرين.
They replied, "You are nothing but one of those who are bewitched." They replied, "You are nothing but one of those who are bewitched."
According to ancient conceptions, madness occurred either because of the influence of a jinn or magic. Therefore, if people wanted to call someone mad, they used such epithets as majnoon, mashur, or musahar.
مَا أَنْتَ أنت إلا بشر مثلنا فأت بآية إن كنت من الصادقين.
You are no different from a mortal like us. So produce a sign if you are truthful. You are no different from a mortal like us. So produce a sign if you are truthful.
They contended that they did not see any palpable differences between the Prophet Saleh, peace be upon him, and themselves, i.e., there was nothing which fully convinced them that he was God's messenger. If Saleh's, peace be upon him, claim were true, then he should present them with a miracle that would convince them that he had indeed been sent by the Creator of the universe, by the Lord of the heavens and the earth.
قال هذه ناقة لها شرب ولكم شرب يوم معلوم.
Saleh, peace be upon him, said, "This is a she-camel. There is a day set for her to drink, and there is a day set for you to drink." Saleh, peace be upon him, said, "This is a she-camel."
In response to their demand for a miracle, a she-camel was brought to them. It must have been an extraordinary she-camel, unlike the camels that the Arabs then had, either with regard to its birth, or in the manner in which it emerged before the people, or in its structure, for it would have been meaningless for the Prophet Saleh to present an ordinary camel in response to demands for a miracle. All this can be inferred from the context in which this she-camel is mentioned. At other places in the Quran, however, this she-camel is mentioned in clear terms as a miracle. This she-camel from Allah is a divine portent for you. Al-A'raf 7:73, Hud 11:64. In Surah Bani Israel, the same is stated more emphatically. Nothing hindered us from sending our signs except that the people of olden times rejected them as lies. We publicly sent the she-camel to the Thamud to open their eyes, but they wronged her. We never send our signs except to cause men to fear. 17:59. Additionally, it was soon after this she-camel was brought forth that this unbelieving nation was issued with a challenge. Such was the nature of the challenge that it could only have been made after a miracle had been delivered.
There is a day set for her to drink, and there is a day set for you to drink.
This she-camel and all other Thamud's animals were required to drink from the wells and springs on alternate days. No one was allowed anywhere near the places of water on the day apportioned for the she-camel. This in itself was a very stern challenge, but in the particular case of the Arabs, nothing could have been more demanding, for theirs was a society in which people constantly fought over water access. Indeed, wars were fought to secure access to wells and springs. So, for a person to proclaim that on a certain day only his she-camel would have the right to all the watering places was an open challenge to the whole nation. Normally, such a proclamation could not be made without the backing of a strong army, without a huge contingent of archers and swordsmen. Yet, Saleh, peace be upon him, made this extraordinary statement all by himself, and his people, all of them, accepted it without a word, obeying it for a long time. In Surahs Al-A'raf and Hud, we find the addition of the following words, "So leave her alone to pasture, and touch her with no evil," and "This she-camel is a divine portent for you, so leave her alone to pasture on Allah's earth, and touch her with no evil." 7:73 and 11:64. Thus, the challenge was not just about water, but also that the she-camel be able to graze in their fields, gardens, and groves with impunity. She would be able to go wherever she wished and eat whatever she wished, and still no one would be allowed to touch her.
ولا تمسوها بسوء فيأخذكم عذاب يوم عظيم.
Do not molest her lest the chastisement of an awesome day should seize you.
فعقروها فأصبحوا نادمين.
But they hamstrung her and then regretted it. But they hamstrung her.
This does not mean that as soon as they heard the challenge, they pounced upon the she-camel, hamstringing her. In fact, the she-camel remained among them for quite some time, presenting more and more of a problem each day. They discussed the situation among themselves, deliberated about how to cope with her, and then finally, one of their more daring chiefs took it upon himself to rid his nation of the problem once and for all.
This is mentioned in Surah Al-Shams in these words: "When that most hapless wretch from among them rushed forward to commit this evil deed," 91:12. In Surah Al-Qamar, the same incident is mentioned in these words: "But they called their companion, who undertook the task and hamstrung her,"
54:29.
So the chastisement seized them. Surely there is a sign in this, but most of them would not believe. So the chastisement seized them.
Elsewhere in the Quran, this punishment is mentioned in greater detail. When the she-camel was killed, Saleh, peace be upon him, announced, "Enjoy yourselves for a maximum of 3 days." Hud 11:65. At the end of this period, there was a fierce blast at dawn, followed by an earthquake which annihilated the whole nation. When the light of day spread, corpses lay scattered like the dry twigs of a fence hedge or the pasture trampled by animals. Neither their stone castles nor their rocky cave homes could save them. Surely we sent against them a single blast, and they became like the dried up crumbling twigs of a sheepfold. Al-Qamar 54:31. Thereupon a shocking catastrophe seized them, so that they lay prostrate in their dwellings. Al-Araf 7:78. Then the blast caught them in the morning. Whatever they had been earning proved of no avail. Al-Hijr
15:83-4.
Verily, your Lord is immensely mighty, most compassionate.